The following audio is from LCBC Church. To learn more about LCBC, visit lcbcchurch.com.
Hey, so I love listening to stories like Tiffany's and Brandon's and just realizing that Christmas Eve is coming up here in a couple of weeks, and we've got this amazing opportunity to invite somebody to church that may not typically even be open to coming to church, and maybe it results in a life that's changed by Christ. And so real fun to hear their story. And so I would just challenge all of us, make sure we pick up tickets today, invite somebody to come, be a part of one of the Eve gatherings. And if I can poke at some of you that are online today, you haven't maybe been back yet to one of our locations, and you've been holding off, and maybe you've been using COVID as a screen to keep you from coming back. But let me just ask you, are you showing up at restaurants? Are you going to stores? Are you going to work? Are you going to school? Are you going to other places? And if you are, then I would say COVID's not a reason to stay away from church anymore. It's time to come back and be a part of what's going on in the church family. I know you can watch online. Online is great, but there's also something really special about being in the building. So if it's just a habit that you've gotten out of, then it's time to get back in the habit of showing up and being a part of things at one of the locations. And so grab tickets and come, and maybe Christmas Eve is the time you come back and get back into a good habit, I think, of showing up at church at one of our locations. So a couple of things I want to mention to you real quick. During the month of October, we were going through an effort we called Be Rich. And Be Rich is an effort that we have just to say, how do we show love to the communities around us? And you guys have done an amazing job. There's a couple of different aspects to Be Rich. One of it is just finances. And so the start of October, we just challenged each other and said, what if we all give $39.95 towards Be Rich? And if you can give more, that's great. Less, that's okay. And so anyway, you guys have been amazing in what you've given so far. We're not yet done, but we're about 27% higher than we were ever before at this stage of Be Rich. And so far you've given $702,462, which is an amazing amount. And that all goes... All of that goes to 78 partners around all of our locations and organizations that we just say, man, let's just 100% of it goes to those organizations to help them. Not only do we give finances to those organizations, but we just give manpower as well. And so about 2,500 hours have been signed up for to say you want to serve in those organizations. A second part of what we do with Be Rich is child sponsorships. And sponsoring kids around the world is an amazing opportunity to change a family, to change that child's life, whatever family structure they have around them, but actually the whole community as well. And so an incredible number, 1,478 kids were sponsored in October, which takes us to a total of over 7,000. 7,060 kids around the world are being sponsored by LCBC. And so 7,060 kids, but their families or communities that have better, they have clean water, they have education, they have health facilities, they're introduced to Jesus. And I think that's an incredible thing. A couple other numbers I'll just throw out. 3,615 shoeboxes through Operation Christmas Child. And so you're impacting the lives of kids this Christmas time. There are still giving trees at all of our locations out in the atrium. When you're out in the atrium, it's decorated for Christmas. So there's some Christmas trees that are just there to be pretty. But there are some trees that have tags on them. On those trees that have tags, pull off one of the tags. There's a gift that you can buy, you bring back. And I think we're starting to even bring them back this weekend. You bring them back and they go to kids and families around all of our campuses. So when you put all that together, because we always like to know, oh, what really are we accomplishing here? We're making a big difference in lots of lives. If you try to monetize it, because I like numbers, you want to monetize it, then bottom line, it's about $1,612,032 just in the month of November. I was saying October, just in the month of November, and there's still more coming in. So I would just say way to go. You guys are amazing. You've done an incredible job. Yeah, that one is worth clapping about too. And there's still more opportunities to jump in, so it's not too late, but way to go. Once again, you guys have stepped in and are doing incredible things. Well, this weekend, we actually want to have part two of what I'm just going to call a family meeting. And family meetings are where you kind of take a pause and you say, okay, let's talk about what's going on in the family. And for us, we're a church family. We're an organization. We're a church. But we're a church family. And so we need to pause and talk about some family business. So if you happen to be here today for the very first time, then you get to sit in on one of our family meetings. And I think that's a perfect time for you to be here, because it gives you a sense of who we are, how we operate, how we think, how we function as a family. And so you're welcome, and I'm glad you're here for our family meeting. So 2 weeks ago, we announced a leadership transition that'll be coming a year from now. And essentially, I'm stepping out of the senior pastor role a year from now, not retiring, just repositioning within the organization. And so we want to talk today about part of the reason why I'm stepping out is because of who is going to be stepping in to that senior leadership role. And so over the years, one of the things that I've learned is not to assume anything. And I don't want to assume that you guys all know Jason. Jason's been around LCBC for 20 years, but I don't want to assume that you know a lot about him. And then you kind of miss out because you didn't know him as well as maybe I thought you did. And so even though we said this isn't a surprise, I don't think anybody's shocked that we said Jason's going to step into this role. I want to make sure that you know about him and know a little bit of his personality. And so we're going to take some time today and just get a sense maybe. I'm going to just assume that you know nothing. You know nothing about Jason at all. It's the first time you've ever seen him. And so I just want to kind of talk and say, okay, tell us a little bit about yourself, your family. So Jason, why don't we start off and why don't you talk about family a little bit and tell us who your family is?
Absolutely. My wife Jenny and I, we've been married for 20 years. We celebrated 20 years this last year, and it's been an incredible ride for us. Met Jenny actually when I was in college, so we're kind of college sweethearts. I transferred down to a college in Georgia called Tocoa Falls College, and Jenny was a Georgia peach. She was born and raised in Georgia, and I was born down south as well in Alabama, and so we had never really moved. We had never gone north. I'm not sure if we had been to Pennsylvania, but one other time before coming up here.
And north for you was probably like North Carolina about
yeah,
that point.
Exactly. So
that
was, Virginia. That was north. We were Virginia. Like, that's, okay. Those are Yankees. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, married Jenny 20 years ago, just celebrated. We've got three children. I have a daughter who is 15. Her name is Sienna. And then my son Silas is 12. He'll be 13 next month, actually. So two teenagers in the home. Yay. And then we had a little surprise, as some of you know, 3 years ago. And our youngest is Solomon. He's 3 years old. So that's
our thing. So Jason, I always laugh when people like you say, we had a surprise. It's like, oh, come on. Yeah, it's not a surprise. I mean, you kind of... We won't go there, but I mean, it wasn't a total surprise, I don't think, was it?
I don't understand what you mean. Explain.
So let's talk a little bit about, you married 20 years ago, but you've been at LCBC almost 20 years as well, right?
Yeah, that first year for us was a huge year of transition. And so Jenny and I, you know, we graduated from college, got married, and then moved 800 miles away from anyone we'd ever known, all within about 9 months. And so there were significant transitions for us.
So tell us about how did you end up at LCBC? Let's kind of go back there then.
Yeah, so my life's goal and my life's dream was to be a high school basketball coach. I wanted to be a basketball coach and loved basketball, still love basketball, love all sports really. I went to work at actually a camp one summer. And at this camp, this guy asked me to lead a devotional. There was actually an orphanage. Not technically an orphanage, but basically a group home for kids who didn't have homes. And so they came into the camp and he said, would you lead a devotional, which is kind of like a 10-minute talk, right, on a little passage of the Bible. I went back and I studied for like 4 hours to get ready for this 10. I was like, 10 minutes? How am I going to talk for 10 minutes? First time anybody had ever asked me really to do that. Anyways, I went and did that and I left that meeting and something inside of me shifted and changed. I don't know if you've ever had that moment, a feeling where you're just like, man, this feels right. And I just left going, I wanna do that the rest of my life. And so I went back to Tocoa and changed my major at that point, began to study ministry. And I had a professor, his name was Doug White, and Doug had an incredible mark on my life. He became almost like a mentor for me. And Doug had a connection up here. He knew someone who actually worked at LCBC. And so at that point, LCBC was looking for a middle school pastor or a middle school director. And they had reached out to colleges all over the country. And so Doug got this packet of information. And Doug knew that Jenny and I, you know, our heart and our intent and our focus was we wanted to be at a church where we felt like we could invite anyone to be a part of the church, right? You didn't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. You didn't have to dress the part. It was a church for anyone. And so we were pretty selective about where we wanted to be. And Doug knew that. And so Doug said, I'm only giving this packet of information to you because this church sounds like it's what you're looking for. And the rest was history. And
so at that point, we were probably 20 years ago, we were 1,200.
Yeah, I think
so.
We were about 1,200, 1,500 people. Obviously, one location.
And we had a student men, Mike Harder was the student men director at that point. So you were coming in to do middle school.
Yeah.
And so we were, I think about that time, if I remember right, we were our leadership team, which there were only 7 or 8 of us maybe at that point, but we were going out to California for a conference.
Yes.
So we were about at the point of hiring you, and so we invited you to come.
Yeah, and I think the important thing to say is you were about at the point of hiring me. It hadn't happened yet. And yet, they invited me to go on this trip to California. It was like this leadership forum out to California. And we knew it was looking promising and all that, but I was like, I guess I'll go to California with you guys, even though I don't work there yet. So we're on the plane out to California. And I'm happy, I sit across the aisle from David, and David's reading his book or something like that. And then all of a sudden he kind of shuts the book and he leans over the aisle and says, "Hey, so did you get the job offered to you?" And I said, "No." And he goes, "Well, do you want it?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Welcome aboard." So, needless to say, we have tightened up our HR functions significantly.
It worked, though. I mean, it was effective.
Yeah, so, it did work.
So what you need to know about that trip, though, it was, I don't even remember what the conference was about.
I don't either.
What we were most excited about for a lot of the team was they'd never been to the West Coast before, right. And they'd never seen a sunset over the Pacific Ocean. And so the Pacific was right there. And so the whole goal was the conference. But when the conference ended, we had to rush to get to the coast so we could see the sunset over the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, that was another moment because everybody's talking about this sunset. They got to see the sunset. Like, they've never seen the sunset in their life. They got to see the sunset. Unfortunately, I was the obstacle because I had to catch a flight earlier back to Georgia and before they did. And I was in the way of them seeing their precious sunset. So we pull up into Burbank Airport. And remember, I think been on staff for 3 days at this point and don't even know these guys really that much, getting to know them a little bit. And if this is the van right here, I take my bag out of the van. They're all in the van. It's still running. I pull my bag out of the van, I put it on the sidewalk. When I turn around, the van is gone. It's just getting smaller and smaller. The van doors are like waving like this. They didn't even shut the doors.
So but we saw the sunset, we made it.
Oh, I'm
we
glad.
Saw the sunset. That's what really mattered was getting
I'm
there.
I'm so grateful.
So a lot has happened in over the 20 years, and a lot has kind of brought you to the point to where you are now. So let's talk about some of the roles that you've had. So you started out in middle school.
Yeah, started out in middle school, and then beyond middle school, worked in middle school for a while, and then began to oversee middle school.
It's
and
one thing
high
about
school.
Middle school, because actually our daughter Ashley was in middle school at that time, and so she was a part of.
She was actually in Jenny's here right now, but she was in Jenny's life group. So Jenny and Ashley became very close. So known Ashley since she's probably 9 or 10 years old.
Actually kind of fun. I will tell you guys, Ashley and Kyle just had a baby Friday night, Grayson Neil Dobbs, and so excited to have a grandson. To go with a 2-year-old granddaughter with Justin and Laura Reina, though, so fun to have that. Actually, one time I remember, and this was probably a test. I didn't tell you, but this was a test that we had for you in student ministry, where you and Jenny were having all the middle schoolers over to your house. Uh-huh. It seems like it was a Sunday afternoon, if I remember right.
I don't remember any details of whatever you're about to say, so go ahead.
So it was a Sunday afternoon, and Justin at that time was in high school. He was on the golf team. I don't play golf, but I would go to play golf with Justin just because. So Ruth would come along with us on Sunday afternoon, just ride. In the cart and stuff, we'd play golf. We dropped Ashley off at your place.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Do you remember this?
Uh-huh.
And we thought, this is perfect, because we'll be able to get in a round of golf. And I even remember sitting there saying, oh, we've got time for nachos and stuff after at the clubhouse. And so we did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the event was supposed to end at 5. And around 9 p.m., David and Ruth roll up. And so I'm thinking, what happened? He was like, we just wanted nachos. So
it was great, though. But you had a smile on your face, and that made an impression on me. So that
was
good.
Coincidentally, there's a lot of great middle school opportunities in about a year from now for you to step into.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. So student ministry, middle school.
Student ministry, middle school, and then begin to oversee all of student ministry, which would be high school as well. And then for a season, really kind of all of our next gen ministries. Which would be 5th grade through 29, and obviously had pastors and an exceptional team of people doing that, but was given oversight to that. During all that time, we also went multi-site, so it was the first, for us, we were beginning to have multiple campuses, and so I think over that season had probably gotten to about 5 campuses. And so very, very, it's some of the richest years of, I think, leadership and ministry that I look back on with just such incredibly good memories of those years of student ministry.
And, if I could just challenge some of you who are in organizations or in positions and you're not where you want to be necessarily, and you may not even know where you want to be, but you haven't really reached the position that you're going to ultimately reach, keep taking opportunities. And as opportunities present themselves, then seasoning is important. So one of the things that I love about the opportunities you've had Jason, is it's just you've been able to learn by osmosis in some mm-hmm. ways. You've been able to learn through different opportunities. You know LCBC mm-hmm. well. We kind of stopped at Branch Creek, but there you served yeah. for 5 or 6 years. Then we brought you back here about 4 years ago
yeah.
To lead our ministry overall. And so you've just been able to learn and grow. So sometimes you may not, somebody may not be where you want to be ultimately in your position, but man, keep growing, keep learning. Everything you can experience, because opportunities will come if you're faithful, if you do well at what you're doing. So.
Yeah, and what happens a lot of times is, so you can look at a, you know, I'm in student ministry at that point, or middle school ministry, and you can almost get so focused on what you want to do next that there's things that can be developed in you, competencies and skill sets and all that, that you can't get any other place, and you yep. need to settle into that a little bit. And so for middle school ministry and student ministry, I mean, I learned how to talk to, you know, and talk about the Bible to that made sense for a 10-year-old, and at the same time had to lead parents. And so that's a really rich opportunity to have to learn that. I couldn't have learned that any other way. And so anyways, there's always a gift of where you are if you just open your eyes to see it.
Yeah, very cool. So probably, I think, 8-9 years ago, began to identify, and you and I actually had a conversation, Jason, and said, okay, I think there may be possibilities long-term for you mm-hmm. in leadership. And so what are some areas that we can just build out, develop even more? And so we kind of focused on several things. And so one of them was communication mm-hmm. and saying, okay, how do we help you continue to grow? And you were doing a lot of communicating. You were doing that in student ministry, at least early on, you were doing that. But then we began to have you teach on the main stage mm-hmm. in the auditorium. And at that point, still probably one campus, but we were starting to add more. And so talk about those early years as you think about just kind of communicating and talking.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I think about those early years of communicating and standing up and opening up the Bible, I mean, I honestly, there's part of me who looks back and I'm embarrassed by some of them. I mean, I just recently, I think I told you maybe a couple months ago, I came across some of my very first messages, and I think I texted you or at least told you, thank you for not firing me or never, you know, letting me do that again, because it was bad, guys. I mean, it was like hillbilly something. I don't know. I sounded like I was 10 years old and I came from the mountains. Anyways.
You do like Alabama. So,
I do like Alabama. And I'm from Alabama, by the way. There's a personality thing. Roll Tide, roll. Someone actually, some of the most comments I've gotten, David, have been, this has been like, oh, I'm thinking they're going to say something about our transition, all that. They're just like, no. Now we have to hear about Alabama, not Dallas Cowboys all the time. I was like,
that's
aren't you glad?
That's
not a loss.
Yeah,
it's not a loss.
It's a terrible thing.
yeah, so anyways, it's interesting. Whenever you get feedback on something, and a lot of you are in positions in your marketplace or in your industry where you got a supervisor or you got someone who's leading your team, and they're going to give you feedback at some point. And you have a choice at that moment. And you can either kind of reject that and pridefully, hey, you know what? All right, I'll pretend like I'm listening, but I'm not. Or you can go, hey, you know what? I'm going to listen. I'm going to try to apply it to my life. I'm going to try to figure out how I can grow in this area. And so from a communication standpoint, I just always feel, I still feel, I've not arrived there. No one's arrived there. And so I want to grow as much as I can in that area. And, I kind of joke about those early years. It was bad, but I think that's part of it too. Is like, I think sometimes, David, from a communication standpoint, I think when you're in your 20s, you kind of want to prove yourself. When you're in your 30s, you want to start to contribute. And then I think, at least, I don't know if I'm in my mid-40s. I'll be 44 next year. Is that mid-40s?
It's close.
I think that's early 40s. But I think it's when almost, you're in your 40s.
It's actually almost midlife when you think about it. But anyway, go ahead. Keep going. Keep going. You're going
yeah.
good.
Yeah. All right. Those middle school opportunities are looking better and better for you.
You don't need to retaliate. Just keep going. Keep going.
So, to be honest, I don't know what I was talking about. What was I?
Something about being in midlife.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In your 40s. In your 40s, it's just different. I mean, at that point, you're like, how do I influence? Use the experience I have to influence. But my point is, in the 20s, from a communication standpoint, it's really about kind of proving yourself. I feel like the longer I've been in ministry and leadership, actually, the simpler it's kind of gotten. And I just kind of take my marching orders. I love the way the Apostle Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And he just says, I love this phrase. He says, look, whenever we're in a meeting together, a church meeting like this, he goes, I'd rather speak 5 words to help someone than 10,000 words that make no sense. And why I love that is because we've all been in churches before where someone got up and shared 10,000 words and everybody goes, man, that dude's smart. I don't know what he said, but that's deep. And I don't know, my approach to communication has just gotten simpler and simpler, to be honest. I got a note on my desk, and I think I may have shared this with some of you before, but I've got a note on my desk, and I probably got it 13 years ago from someone, and someone walked out, it was after a weekend when I was speaking, And someone just walked out and wrote a little note, handed to an usher and said, would you please give this to Jason? I still have it. And all it says is real simple. It just says, thank you for today's message, a simple message for a simple man. And I keep that on my desk to remind me of what's most important, to keep it simple. And by the way, it's a pet peeve of mine. I didn't mean to touch you right there. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But I'm getting kind of worked up. See, that's a pet peeve of mine. Mm-hmm. A pet peeve of mine from a church standpoint sometimes is we confuse simple with shallow. And I think sometimes we're going to fight to be very simple here. That does not mean we're shallow. In fact, sometimes the simplest truths are the deepest. Love your enemies. That's simple. You don't think that's deep, that's hard, that takes work. Forgive those who've hurt you. That's simple. But boy, that's not shallow. And so just so you know, we're always fighting to keep it simple here. And we're going to continue to do that.
I heard years ago, John Maxwell was talking. He said there's a difference between communicators and teachers. And he said teachers are going to try to them, the most important thing is the content. They don't worry about if anybody gets the content. Mm-hmm. They just want to make sure they talk about the content. Where he said a communicator actually takes the content and says, I want to present it in such a way that people walk away and they can do something mm-hmm. with that content. And so we really want to focus on how do we make sure we're communicators. And we love simple. And the highest compliment you can pay to us is to say, you know what, my 10-year-old grandson sat in the gathering with us, and they walked home, and they got what you were talking mm-hmm. about. That's the ultimate compliment. We go, man, that's fantastic. Then we're doing what we want to be doing. So communication was one of them. Business was another. It's interesting. As LCBC has grown over the years, people sometimes will compare us to a business. And they'll almost say it in a negative way, like you guys operate like a business, like that's an insult to us. And we actually go, you know what? There's nothing wrong with being well-organized as a church. And the better organized we are, the better we can do what God wants us to do. So we love actually saying, how do we organize ourselves in a way that works well? And so one of the things we had you do is join some cohorts with a guy by the name of Les McEwen. Les is a business leader, author. And so you had opportunity to be around several people that really were impactful for you and helped you just understand how to lead a large organization.
Yeah, Les is, he's really known all around the world. He's consulted for Ford and, you name any company, and Les has consulted with them. And I would consider him a friend and a mentor. He's been exceptionally just gracious in helping me think through, how to apply business and organizational principles to what we're trying to do here. One of the things we did was we just put together a cohort of probably 6, 7, 8 CEOs from around the country, some of them leading very, very big companies and some of them leading very fast-growing companies. And we just sat around. We just met several times over the course of the year and just shared, here's what's happening in our organization. What are you learning? And it was an incredibly valuable experience for me. It's interesting to me, when you think about churches and organization, I kind of agree with you, David, that we'll hear almost like, well, a church is not supposed to be a business. And yet, I don't think anything could be further from the truth in the way that you're organized. And I don't like think about that for a second. What we're saying is a business that sells clothing or a business that sells food or whatever the market is, right? Why should they be better at customer service than a church? That doesn't make sense to me. Why should they be better at, standard operating procedures than a church? Which, they're selling clothes and food, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we've got the greatest message in the world entrusted to us. We ought to work well. And so that's a high value of ours. It's a high value of mine. And I'm incredibly grateful for our staff. We've got 250 staff here who that's their mindset as well. We work with excellence and we try to bring our best. That doesn't make sense why we wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. One of the other things we had you do over the last several years, Jason, is just work closely with me. Yeah. So you and I have spent a lot of time together over the last 7, 8, 9 years. And yeah. I would just say it's actually been a fun thing for me to be a part of that. But whether you enjoy it or not, it's been a great thing for my end. So
it's been mostly fun. it's been, there's no education you can get, there's no class you can take that makes up or that can supplement for being 12 feet away, our offices. There's something about that where we've shared countless hours together over these last few years, really over 19 and a half years, but then in these last 3, 4 years, obviously to a much more elevated degree. And we've talked about everything. David and I have talked about everything, the financials of our church, budgeting, staffing, serious staffing issues, at times, having to work through a global pandemic. I mean, those are decisions that him and I.
Yeah, the last couple of years have actually been fantastic as far as learning opportunities, figure out how do we lead in the midst of a lot of turmoil, a lot of change. So,
yeah.
So what are some of the things that you've kind of felt like you've been learning? And even from a spiritual standpoint, because I don't want to leave that part of it out either. It's important that you're grounded well spiritually, theologically, biblically. And so I know you worked on a master's degree.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I feel like there's been two things as we've gone through some of this process of determining whether or not God is in this transition and is this where God is leading. I felt two things very, very strongly. The first is just very simple. Just stay close, Jason. Just stay close to Jesus. At the end of the day, that's what matters most, not just for me, but for you as well. No matter what role we feel, no matter what we're doing, those are just tasks. The most important thing is to stay close to Jesus. And so I've just challenged myself with that, and I'm a lot like you. There's a lot of mornings that I wake up, and the last thing I want to do is go find my chair and open up the Bible and spend time. I've got things I want to get to, and so it's not easy. It's not always easy for me. I'm like you. I've got people in my life that they aggravate me, or they're challenging, and it's hard to love them. And so it's not about perfection. It's just about saying every day, I'm going to stay close to you in this, Jesus. So that's been one thing. The other is, and I want you to know that the way that I think we ought to see leadership, and this again applies to your life as well, whatever influence you have, it might be in your home, it might be in the marketplace, but at the end of the day, leadership is not a reward. Leadership is a responsibility to be managed. Any influence you've been given, any influence I've been given, that's been given to us to be managed, to be stewarded. And I think that's a very different way of seeing leadership. And so one of the most important questions I think that we ought to do whenever we're considering jumping into something new, a new kind of role, is don't ask, do I want to be that role? So if you're thinking about getting married, do I want to be married? Do I want to be a parent? Do I want to be a senior pastor? Those are good questions. They're just not the most important question. The more important question is, do I want to do what those people do? Do I want to do what a parent does? Because that might be a different answer. Do I want to do what a married person does? It means I'm going to have to give up some things, but I'm going to get some things back. Do I want to do what a senior pastor does? And so even David, probably about, I don't know when it was, a year ago, I just made a list of everything that a senior pastor does. Because I know all the great things that come with it. But I got to also answer for myself, am I going to be willing to do those things? Because leadership is a responsibility. It's not a reward. And so Jenny and I, we don't see this as a promotion. This is not a promotion to us. This is not a reward. This isn't because we don't want this because it makes sense. We want to be where God wants us. We want to know that God is in it. And then we want to take that responsibility seriously. And so I think I just say all of that we want to be faithful in the small things. I want to do the small things well and honor people. I mean, it's the things that no one will ever see you do. You want to do those with excellence. You want to do those well in a way that honors God. And so those have been things on my heart lately.
So you and I don't agree on college football teams, and I don't necessarily care for Alabama as a team, but I do like the coach, Nick Saban. And I've told you before, one of the things I love about Nick Saban, he'll talk about just doing the basics, and it's doing the small things over and over, individually in our lives, but also as an organization, because then that's what brings the fruit. That was what makes it strong. So talk about real quick, what's interesting with churches or organizations, they take on the personality of the leaders. And so LCBC has a personality, but you're going to come in with a different personality maybe than what we've had before. What won't change with LCBC? What excites you as you think about the future?
Yeah, I mean, people have asked a little bit, like, what do you think will change? Or you know, it's a question that I've gotten a few times. And the honest answer is I don't know. I'm not sure even 5 years ago. You know, in some ways, that's one of the things I feel like I've picked up from you, David, is not to be so, not to be so black and white about here's what we're going to be doing. And I mean, you got to be adaptable a little bit. So I don't know. What I do know is what won't change. I know that. And what won't change is the bones of our church are still the bones of our church. They're the things that have the values and the convictions that have driven us, for 35 years now. What won't change is that we're going to be a church for everyone, a church where someone can come in with all of their hangups and all their baggage. You don't have to look the part. You don't have to dress the part. You can come in with all your brokenness, and you're going to be loved here. And you're going to be accepted. And you're going to be embraced here. And you're going to be challenged to follow Jesus here as well. That's not going to change. We're going to be a church that sacrifices. What's not going to change is we're going to be a church that sacrifices our preferences for the good of someone who doesn't yet know Jesus. We're going to give those. The 99 are okay. We're going to chase the one. And if that means we have to make sacrifices for that and put aside our own preferences at times, I was the one at one point. And so were you. And someone gave and someone sacrificed to see that you wouldn't have any hurdles to knowing Jesus. So we're going to continue to do that. So again, those are things that excite me because, you know, how it all looks and all that. There's things 10 years ago, we didn't know we were going to have 19 locations like this and all that. And it was a dream, but we didn't know how it would all look. And
yeah, but the mission stays the same.
Mission stays the same.
Yeah, that's cool. So we're excited about the future, where God is leading us, where God is taking us. What happens real practically over the next week is next Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, in all of our gatherings, we'll have opportunity to vote and affirm Jason as our senior pastor coming up a year from now. So Board of Elders, the leadership of the church says this is the direction we think God is leading us, and we're real confident with that and want that to be affirmed through the partners. If you're a partner at LCBC, that means you've been through the Next Steps classes. There's four classes you go through. I think there's about 4,000 of you that have done that and are partners. So next weekend, we'll ask you to vote. You can do that in the gatherings live. You can do it online. You can text, but you'll be able to do that next weekend. And we're excited about that vote. Also, this Tuesday evening, I think it's 7 o'clock online. You can go to the website, get more information about this, but we'll have a kind of massive Zoom call if you're interested with just a question and answer time to be able for you to ask questions of Jason and more about this transition if you're interested. So you can go online and find out more about that. We would ask you over the next week to be praying. And a couple things that we'd ask you to pray for over the next week. One is just pray for us. Pray for Jason and I as we continue to go through this process. As we've studied succession, as we've looked at what other organizations have done, this is kind of the period where it could get kind of dicey between the leader that's stepping out, the leader that's coming in. And we've used the analogy of a baton pass and passing off the baton. And we're kind of right in that transition over the next year of passing off that baton. So
yeah, I think what's interesting, what struck us this last week is, in some ways, I thought once we made this announcement, it would almost be like, oh, okay, we can breathe a sigh of relief. We've done the work. We've stayed close. We've made sure it didn't get wonky. But actually, I think what we're finding is now, so up until we went public with it, you were beginning to reach out for the baton. I was beginning to reach back, but you still had it. Now that it's public, we both have our hands on it. And that's where the drop can happen, I think, if you watch the races. And so we're just committed. We are very committed to making sure that doesn't happen, to staying close, to making sure that we're talking. But we also would ask you to pray for us in that we stay real close to this.
And you know what's interesting, Jason, is I've thought about this over the last several days. We always talk about life. Well, people say it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And we always use that analogy. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. I would probably say it's not even a marathon. It really is a relay race. Every one of us are only here for a time. Mm-hmm. And at some point, we will all pass the baton to somebody else. And so don't think of it as you as an individual doing your 60, 70, 80 years of life and you're done. Instead, what are you doing to pass on to the next generation, to those that are coming behind you? And so this really is a baton pass as we go through it. So pray for us. Pray for the church family overall. Pray for the vote this coming weekend that God will just be very clear as we vote to affirm Jason that way. And I would also say, do your part. Whatever part you have at LCBC, and if you're part of this church family and you're not doing anything, then figure out what part should you play. Everybody's got a part to play so that we can be strong as an organization, so that we can be actually doing what we say we want to do, introducing people to Jesus and all of us fully following him. So figure out what your part is as we move forward. And excited about where God is taking us, excited about what God is doing here at LCBC. So what we want to do right now is actually take time to pray and just ask God together. To guide us, to be with us. And so I'm actually going to ask you to stand. And as we stand, let's pray and say, God, thank you for where you've taken us so far, but also, God, asking you to lead us into the future as well. And so join me and let's pray and let's talk to God. Heavenly Father, God, we just want to say thank you for the way you love us. We want to say thank you for the way that you allow us to be a part of your work here on earth. That you've decided that for whatever reason, you've decided that the way you're going to get the message of Jesus out is through us, through individuals, through people who are flawed, through people who have just a lot of junk in their lives, through people who are prone to sin. And yet we're the method that you've chosen to get out the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus is that, Father, we can come before you in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our junk. And the reason we can come to you and stand before you, the reason that you call us sons and daughters is because of Jesus. And the fact that Jesus on the cross bled and died to pay the penalty for our sins. And he rose again to make it possible so that our lives could be changed, so that we could be lives that are changed by Jesus Christ. That's what we're about as a church, to introduce more people to Jesus so more lives could be changed by Jesus. And Father, may that continue in the years ahead. Thank you for the thousands of lives that have been changed thus far. Father, we would pray for thousands more. I ask, God, that you'd be with Jason and Jenny during this transition, that you'd watch over, that you'd protect them. I'd be with the vote this coming weekend. God, we're asking for strong affirmation. That's just a real clear indication from you that we're going the direction you'd want us to go. And Father, I ask that each of us would figure out our part here at LCBC and serve you in a way that, man, makes our bodies stronger. And God, I ask that each of us would be willing to fully follow you, to step into wherever you're leading us, whatever you're guiding us. Father, the reason we're here is because of Jesus, and there is no other like Jesus. There's no greater name than Jesus' name. In a couple weeks, we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And what an exciting time, but it's not really even just about a baby born in a manger. It's about a baby born in a manger that grew up to be a man that died on a cross and rose again, so that we could experience life change, so that we could be forgiven, so we could experience eternity with you, so that we could be called sons and daughters of yours. So Father, may we never lose our focus on Jesus as individuals and as a church family. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.